Sports Beat Extra on Beat.
Thanks a million for joining me. Coming up to a really historic occasion and a really exciting time, I suppose, for Carlow ladies football and for Carlow in general as well. If you look back to the beginning of this season, it may be a bit difficult, I suppose, to probably do that at this stage with arguably the biggest game ever coming down the line. But, you know, if you look back and you obviously know that this team is capable of getting to this point, and does it feel like how you would have thought it might have felt like back then?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I suppose this year the belief was so strong. But I think, like, since I came into the panel, and obviously I can't speak on behalf of all the girls, but I think I know them well enough at this stage to know that, like, every year that they came in with Carlow over the past couple of years, you know, they did feel that it was within the group or within the ceiling of the group to get to an All-Ireland final. So I suppose in my mind now, I'm kind of thinking, look, it was only a matter of time. But obviously, when we got over that semi-final hurdle 3 weeks ago, it was amazing. Like, and the feeling is probably, it's a little bit indescribable, I suppose. It was just unbelievable. It was a mix of, I suppose, relief, excitement. There was so much emotion. But yeah, to finally get over the line with a group that, you know, that I had full belief in eventually would, is massive, of course. Yeah.
Do you think mentally, I suppose, I know obviously a block of not getting through a semi-final between 2021 to 2024 is ever an advantage, but like, if you think about it mentally and kind of when people think about their objectives for the beginning of the season and wanting to get an All-Ireland trophy, like, do you think the fact that your objective was to just get over that semi-final hurdle almost helps a little bit more because you're kind of not thinking about that All-Ireland final really coming up to that?
Yeah, exactly. Like, at the beginning of the year, you know, obviously we wanted to do well in the league, we wanted to get promoted, we wanted to win Leinster, of course, but I suppose as soon as the Leinster was over, we knew we wanted to get, first of all, get to a semi-final, you know, to get into a semi-final, and that was, you know, by winning, I suppose, two out of three games anyways in the group, and that was our focus then, and then our focus was to win a semi-final. So of course you dream of playing in Croke Park and you dream of a day like we'll have on Sunday, but I suppose our goal at the beginning of the year really was first and foremost to get to the semi-final, and obviously to get over that hurdle. It's something we'd never done before, so I suppose it was a barrier that we had to break within our group, and now that that's done, obviously our full focus then, it does go to playing in Croke Park. And I think, like, quite quickly we had to change our focus from saying, okay, God, it's brilliant that we've won a semi-final, to actually saying, okay, yes, we've won a semi-final, but now we want to win a final. You know, it's all well and good saying you get your day out in Croke Park, but at the end of the day, like, that group of players that are there, you know, they're not going to just settle for you know, getting the chance to play in Croke Park. We want to win in Croke Park, you know.
Has the pre-match feeling in the dressing room changed at all throughout the course of the season? Like, has it gotten more serious, or has it gotten a little bit more, I suppose, not laxed, but a bit more enjoyable, a bit more sort of fun and boisterous a little bit as you've kind of kept going from win to win?
Yeah, I suppose you have different characters in the dressing room, don't you? Like, you have the likes of me and Adele Hayden and Ruth Birmingham, you know, the real nervous ones that are quite quiet, I suppose, before games. And then you have the Shannon Cotters of the world who are bopping around the dressing room, not a bother on them, like, not a care in the world. Like, it seems like that, you know, and you need both. You need a bit of everything in the dressing room. But I suppose the only change in the dressing room is that the belief within the dressing room is getting stronger and stronger, and it's getting bigger and bigger. And that's been massive. And I suppose when you're winning and you're creating that habit of winning, it creates such a positive environment, and we've all got so much closer, I suppose, as a result. And, you know, even getting, I suppose, the opportunity to go to London this year, although we were going over to play a game, we went over for an enjoyable weekend as well. You know, we stayed the night after the game, and things like that bring a group so much closer together. You know, the same as winning finals, you know, like that league final was a really, really tough game, and to come through on the other side of that with a trophy was massive, and like I said, gelled us really together even more. So I suppose that's really the only change in the dressing room. People still are the way people are, but I think we've probably just become a lot closer as a group, and like I said, the belief is just getting stronger and stronger.
I suppose we only ever really hear about stuff outside of changing rooms in sport whenever something's going wrong and how easily that can kind of dismantle a team, but we very rarely, I suppose, focus on how difficult it is to build up that sort of really good group of players and that really tight-knit group of players, that it almost feels like they're playing, obviously, inter-county football in this case, but it feels like they're doing it with their friends as opposed to their colleagues or their other players or whatever. Like, you know, like, how big of a challenge has that been, I suppose, to try and get that situated firstly, and then secondly to kind of see that naturally develop? Like, because it feels like something you can't really coach, or you can't really just kind of say, oh, we'll bring in this person for morale or whatever. Like, it just has to naturally work, doesn't it?
Yeah, it definitely, it has to come naturally, and I suppose it comes over time as well. These things, you can't just click your fingers and say, okay, everyone go be best friends. Yeah. You know, it doesn't work like that. But I think, like, with a team, in order for a team to succeed, like, you also, you do have to be friends, as cringe as some people might say that sounds. You know, you have to be friendly with one another. You have to trust one another. And I think this year, more than ever, we have found that level of trust and that bond. And like I said, it probably is as a result of winning. You know, when things are going well, everyone is happy, everyone is buzzing, everyone's, you know, going into training with a smile on their face. But like I said, these things, they don't happen overnight. And it's not always easy to find the right mix, the right group of people, you know. But this year, it really seems like we've hit the nail on the head. And, you know, the group of girls that are in there, like, they're willing just to give 110% anytime they put on a pair of football boots or put on the Carlo jersey. And I spoke to someone during the week, and I spoke about, like, obviously there's massive club rivalries within Carlo. Like, it's the same as any county. But this year it kind of has felt like, although you're going into the Carlo panel, you're representing your club, you're representing your community, it kind of does go out the window a little bit. And it has done this year, in that, like, we all know that when we put the Carlo jersey on our back, we're the same crest is going on our chest, and we're all representing the same idea and the same community. You know, we're representing Carlo ladies, and we're all going out there with the same goal and the same belief. And yeah, it's been massive this year, and that bond that we've had, and that bond that you don't see, you know, inside the changing room, has been massive in helping us get towards our goals.
I don't know if there's any correlation between it, but, you know, I know probably from the outside, people who maybe aren't in Carlo are maybe looking at the likes of maybe yourself, Brona Nolan, Cleena Ni Hay, and kind of saying, like, those are the three focal points of this team or whatever. But, like, looking back at the games and particularly the scores, like, such a diverse range of players that are getting on the score sheet and contributing to the overall game. Like, does that, I suppose, is that an extension of how good of a, like, frenzy are off the pitch, kind of making its way into the sort of tactics, almost just unbeknownst to yourselves, but just kind of ending up that everyone is kind of chipping in their own way?
Yeah, absolutely. And it goes back to that idea of trust. Like, there's not a player on that field or on the bench that I wouldn't trust to come on and do a job. You know, whether that's being so solid in the backs, which our backs generally are, or up front, you know, the girls that are getting those scores, no matter who is in there. And, like, there has been situations this year where we've had injuries, or we've had things that have come up, and people have been unavailable for games, like, you know, things out of people's control. But I suppose we've had confidence in the panel that's there, and the girls to step into those into the shoes that have been left behind. And it's been massive. Like I said, it's just the idea of trust again. I think if you trust the players around you, it doesn't matter who it is. You know, you back them 110% even to get the job done. And that's definitely the case this year. And, like, it does come back to the idea of friendship and all the work that goes in behind the scenes, you know, in getting us to bond it the way we have bonded this year.
Crow Park is, I don't know, the idea of Crow Park seems to have changed quite a bit over the last few years. I know people always talk about how nervous it can be to go out to Crow Park, but equally there's a lot of former players that then talk about the younger players going to Crow Park and having no fear at all, because all they see is their inter-county career further down the line and loads of chances to do this, that and the other. Like, where do you lie on it, kind of coming up to this occasion? Like,
yeah, I suppose I probably lie somewhere in the middle. I'm not at the very beginning of my career, but I certainly hope I'm not at the end of it. You know, I think we're all probably going to have to adopt a similar mindset and just try and enjoy it. I've said it a few times today now, but listening to Kobe MacDonald after Mayo's win at the weekend, and his comment just about, you know, no matter where the pitch is in the country, there's two goals at goalposts at either end of it. You know, and that's kind of the mindset that we're definitely going to have to adopt. In fairness, the Benicarraigh and Ryland girls have a little bit of experience of playing in Crow Park, which will be good for us, and hopefully we'll be able to feed off that kind of experience. But I think we're going to have to try and embrace it. You know, it's a massive day for us, a massive day for our families, our communities. But I suppose when the whistle goes, you know, it's the 60 minutes of football, no matter where it is, whether it's in Dr. Cullen Park, whether it's in Milford and Carlo there or Crow Park, the job stays the same. So hopefully we'll find a way to kind of, like I said, embrace the occasion, embrace the stage, but also just remember that we have a job to do and get that job done.
Do you think, I don't know, do you think much about it, about how much the occasion kind of for each team might decide, like how much they handle the occasion on the day might decide the overall result, given that obviously Antrim were there last year and they just missed out by 2 points, like, but you obviously mentioned the BT girls obviously being there before, like, you know, like, does that, like, do you think there's much of a muchness there, like, or will that, like, I don't know, I don't know really what I'm trying to say with it, but it feels like one of those things where, like, if you do the job right, it probably doesn't matter, but maybe if you don't get over the line, do you think more about it, or how do you think like that?
Yeah, like, I suppose there's no doubt about it. Like, Antrim have more experience than us. You know, they've played in three of the more recent All-Ireland Junior Finals, I think maybe 2022 and then 24 or 25 and now 26. So, you know, like, they have that experience, and I'm sure that core group of girls within that Antrim team will be using that experience to their advantage. And obviously they're coming back off the back of a loss last year. They have that hurt. You know, they want to kind of redeem themselves from that. But I suppose I'm trying to look at it from the other angle, and the idea that this is our, we've been fighting for so long to get this opportunity. And I really feel that when we have the opportunity, we just can't let it slip by. You know, we've worked so hard to get to the place where we are. So of course, experience, you know, it does come into it. There's no doubt about it. And you know, if we can't find a way to manage nerves, or we can't, we kind of get frightened, I suppose, on a big stage, of course, it's going to affect our performance. But like I said, it goes back to the idea of belief and trust. And I trust in the girls, and I trust in their belief that we know we can get the job done no matter where it is. And hopefully we can just embrace the idea that, you know, we're playing in Croke Park. Yes, it's an amazing experience. It's something different. Something, you know, some people never get to experience in their lives. And you have to take that for what it is. You have to enjoy it. But like I said, hopefully we can enjoy it, and then once it gets to the warm up and gets to the throw in, we can kind of put that to the back of our minds for 60 minutes and get the job done.
There was no, I suppose, pre-Croke Park training going into this, was there? Or?
No, there wasn't. Like I said, the Bennekerry Royal Girls have that experience, which will be nice. They kind of know a little bit where they're going. I know that the management team went up, and they did have a look up, and kind of went up to Croke Park for a day, and kind of got a feel for the, even just the warm up areas, things like that. Because obviously, you know, you're in more confined spaces, so just from a logistical point of view, they did that. But I think for us, we're all happy enough to just go up the morning of, take it all in, you know, enjoy being out on the pitch before warm up for however long it is, 10, 15 minutes, like we do with before any game. You know, you go out and you have a look at the pitch, and you have your chat, and you have your laugh with your friends, and then once you get into the dressing room, it's fully focused. So yeah, we didn't get to go up, but no, it's, you know, not something that we're worried about. We're happy to get it all, take it all in on the day.
I have to ask, obviously Antrim probably have the most dangerous forward in the country at the moment, Marie O'Neill. Like 11-16 is insane statistics to even just quote. But like, how do you kind of, obviously your whole train this week will be focusing on your own game and all that, but equally a little bit looking at Antrim, like you've obviously focaled her out as like one of the key contributors. Like, how do you kind of deal with her on the day? Or is that even an appropriate question?
Yeah, it's a tough one to answer. Luckily, I don't have to think too much about the tactics or create any tactics. I'll just do what I'm told. But yeah, look, Maria is a fantastic footballer. Like, to score 3-5 in an All-Ireland semi-final is unbelievable. And there's no shying away from that. And I'm sure if she's on form on Sunday, she'll do her best to cause some problems for us. But I have full faith in our full back line, our half back line, and I suppose as midfielders and half forwards, it's probably our job to kind of cut off the ball going into her. So we'll definitely try our best to do that. But whoever it is that's marking Maria on Sunday, will have their homework done, and they'll know what's up. And look, Ed and his management team, to give them their credit, haven't got anything wrong with us for us this year. So I'll fully back that whatever they're kind of getting us set for this week, and I'm sure we'll kind of focus more on tactics and that this week, as training is kind of, I suppose, winding down a little bit. It'll be more on the tactical side of things, and like I said, I full trust and belief in what they'll tell us to do, and that it'll help us come out on the right side of the result if we can execute it properly.
I know earlier you were saying that you're gonna try and go out in Croke Park, kind of enjoy the sort of the warm up and kind of get a feel for it. Like, by the sounds of how you've been talking throughout the entire thing, like the historic nature of this, obviously for Carlow to be in a first ever All Ireland Ladies Football Final, kind of, you're taking it in your stride. Really, you're kind of seeing it as a moment of celebration and not something really to kind of worry too much about.
No, definitely not. It definitely is a positive. Like, I don't think there would be any point in going in and playing a game on Sunday feeling like, you know, the weight of the county is on your, like, you know, feeling any extra pressure than we normally would. You know, we already have enough pressure on us going out, whether it's a league game in January or an All-Ireland final in August in Croke Park. Look, whenever we put on the Carlow jersey, we want to perform to a standard that we know we can, and that'll be no different on Sunday. And I think, like I keep saying, we're just going to have to enjoy it. It's an honour for us to be the first team to get to do this for the Carlow ladies, and look, we're doing it for so many women that have put on the Carlow jersey in previous years, and like that's going back years and years, and you know, it might be particularly hard on girls that have missed out this year on with injuries and stuff. Like Rachel Sawyer, it's probably, you know, really tough for the likes of her, you know, just being away with an injury this year. And then you've girls that stepped away from the panel, like the likes of Elaine Ware, who soldiered for Carlow so many years, and you know, she made the decision then to retire last year. Like, this is for them. It's not just for the 28 girls in that room and for the management team. You know, we are representing Carlow as a whole, and Carlow ladies football as a whole on Sunday. So we're going to have to take that in our stride, hopefully, and just enjoy it and be proud that we're the women that get to do that.
This gets kind of book noted as well a little bit, like you talk about how ingrained sort of and how friendly all of the players are to each other. Like the fact that you talk about, I suppose, Rachel Sawyer being injured, like, and a lot of those even former players who've retired, like most of them will be at Croke Park cheering you on from the sidelines regardless. Like, it's not something that you just step off the pitch and you're all of a sudden done with it. Like, it follows you for the rest of your life, doesn't it?
Yeah, like, I think when you give so much of your life to something, you can't just automatically step away from it. Like, you're always going to have some sort of attachment to it. Like, I know, obviously, it's hopefully a long time away, but whenever I do decide to step back or retire from playing football, I will always have such a strong love and a connection for Carlow ladies football and for the girls that I played with. And I'm sure that the girls that aren't involved in it this year that have been involved in previous years feel the exact same, you know, and they're willing us on. Because when you devote so much of your life and you make so many sacrifices for something, it doesn't just go away when you retire. You don't just forget about it. Like, and I suppose those girls are well aware that, like, this isn't just something that's happened overnight. You know, this has been years and years of work. You know, these are girls that were in under Ed Burke in previous years. You know, they were there. They were there when the foundations were laid for this. So, like, should we win on Sunday, you know, it's a win that, like, we can, you know, devote to them girls as well.
Absolutely. Roisin Billy, thank you so much and best luck of the weekend. We'll all be rooting for you.
Thanks a million, Oireann. Thank you.